What's up, everybody? Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Power Play Podcast. Before we get into it, I would like to remind everyone to please like and subscribe this independent podcast wherever you're listening. Let us know what you think of the show. Review. Your feedback means the world to us.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Well, it can't be a one-man show out there. Gotta have all the boys involved. Gotta be willing to go to the dirty areas.
Hey, what's up, all you NHL and all you hockey fans? Kevin Weeks here. Just want to say welcome to the Power Play Podcast.
Ooh, welcome to another edition of the Power Play Podcast. I am your host, the one and only Vinny Milani, alongside Anthony the Backup. How the hell are you, buddy?
Fantastic, buddy. Recording this show on a lovely Saturday morning. Still the morning for an hour.
You just love going through that fourth wall, huh? You like breaking that fourth wall, breaking kayfabe, letting everyone know when we actually record. Like,
it's important to let people know when we actually record, because if we record something today, this morning,
yeah,
and then in the games tonight something happens, people are going to wonder, but we're putting the show out on Monday morning. People are going to be like, well, why didn't they talk about that? That's why we didn't talk about
it. That's fair. It's just funny because when I grow it, like the way I developed my podcasting skills was with Brett. And Brett always like preached the fact that you cannot let people in behind the curtain. You had to basically make it seem like you were recording on Friday, or like if the episode released on like the Thursday, you had to make it seem like you recorded it on that Thursday when it was on that Wednesday.
I totally understand that. But I feel like because we are a hockey podcast mainly covering the NHL, a lot of what we talk about is fresh news and things that are happening right now. So if we do miss something, I want people to know it's not because we missed it. It's because it hasn't happened yet.
And if we do miss something, let us know at the Power Play Pod on Twitter.
Boom.
Boom. Boom. Let's get into it, buddy, though. We've got a great show ahead of us. We've got a quick question of the day, starts, its call-ups, setup of the week. And, of course, we have a main event. We've got two truths and a lie. We'll get into that in a little bit. But first, Anthony, it's time for the quick question of the day, and it is this. Who needs to be the most active at the trade deadline? What team needs to be the most active? Now, this does not necessarily have to be the team who needs to be the biggest buyers. It could be the team that needs a fresh rebuild and needs to be the most active in selling.
That's a good point, and I think there's both sides of that coin. I think the Detroit Red Wings are obviously going to want to try to be sellers. At this point, I'm not sure what they have left to sell. they are dead last in the league. But other than that, I really think that teams like Toronto, or even the way Columbus is right now in their, just speaking in the East, the way Columbus is now, as they've exceeded expectations, it looks like they're going to make another run. They're going to want to have some more pieces together to help get them out of that first round, because you know if they make it into the, obviously it looks like they're making it to the playoffs now, they're pretty far ahead, but once they get there, they're going to have to play Washington or Pittsburgh. So you're not going to want to play those teams with the ragtag group that they have that's been getting it done. In the playoffs, it's a different game. So a team like that, you're probably going to want to see them make some big moves. I think, though, if you're asking me to pick one team.
One team, that is what the question was.
Yes, it was. I like to go on side tangent, so you know that about me. So if
can we get a we're going to need a Brett drop instead of wild card? Sidebar.
Sidebar. So enough of the sidebar. If I'm picking one team, it's the Edmonton Oilers. They need to make a move, and they need to make it quick, because there's been times this season where, like, man, this team could go all the way. And then we've seen them play games where we're like, wow, this team should get relegated. So I really think that they need to make a push for some depth, because they have the talent up front. They need to make some push for some depth, because that is what wins in the playoffs.
It's time to capitalize on what they have in front of them
maybe
start making moves.
Maybe a Chris Kreider, which would break my heart. But that's who comes to mind when I think of a depth guy with playoff experience.
Stanley
Cup still has it. He's in his prime right now.
Having a good season as well.
He's having a great season. He's almost up to 20 goals already. He's gonna hit 20.
We can stick with the Battle of Alberta, because my team is the Calgary Flames.
Go ahead.
I think that they have a little bit more of older pieces on their team. Mark Giordano being one of them. Sean Monahan's getting older. Obviously, they're not
the legendary Milan Lucic.
They're not crazy old, but they're getting older. They're a team that needs to start capitalizing on what they have now and start making moves. With Mark Giordano just went on the IR. He's a big piece that they're going
to
lose.
He's expected to be back for playoffs, though.
But they have to make the playoffs. That's the point. They have to make the playoffs. They're right now they're sitting 2 points. They're sitting They're actually in the last wild card spot. They're holding it down by 1 point over Nashville.
They keep on fighting Edmonton for that third spot in the Pacific.
But if you look at it, if you look at the West right now, the West is wide open because it's Calgary at 60, Nashville at 59, Winnipeg at 59, Minnesota at 58. There's at least six teams that are battling for a wild card spot.
Absolutely.
So as a team in Calgary that is just lost their captain, possibly for the remainder of the regular season, you need to bring in pieces to solidify your chances at the wild card spot. So that's what Calgary needs to do. I think that they're my biggest team that needs to be the most active. So the battle of Alberta
is the best thing going right now.
We're going to talk about that in a little bit. So that was our quick question of the day. Now we're going to move on, Anthony, to the starts. No, not starts, sits, call-ups. Look at me not knowing what the show doc looks like.
Is anyone really surprised?
No,
they're not.
Really, it is not. It is now time, though, for news and notes from around the league. Anthony, what do you got for us this week?
All right, news and notes from around the league. Let's get it started with the Winnipeg Jets. They're reportedly working on a termination of the contract for Dustin Byfuglien. It came out late in the offseason that he would not come to the team for their preseason and eventually the regular season. Not sure exactly what's happening there, if it's a mental health issue she's working out, some issues with the organization itself, but I really hope to see Byfuglien back in the NHL one day. But it looks like his days with the Jets are numbered. Moving on to the Los Angeles Kings. They traded Kyle Clifford and goaltender Jack Campbell to the Toronto Maple Leafs for Trevor Moore, a third-round pick, and a conditional third-round pick in 2021. The Kings are also going to retain 50% of Kyle Clifford's salary.
It's good for the Maple Leafs
moving
forward.
Huge move right there. I think the Kings, we just talked about big deadline deals, that's a great move that is good for the future of the Kings and is supposed to be good for the present for the Maple Leafs. Kyle Clifford, not the most skilled guy, but brings a ton of experience. He won 2 cups with LA. He can fight, which is something that the Toronto Maple Leafs lack. We just saw, Hyman get just worked.
Oh, he got pumped by Trouba.
Got worked by Jacob Trouba after laughing in his face, kind of had it coming.
Yep.
But enough of that sidebar. Moving on.
But no, with the Kyle Clifford thing though, it's funny. He's not gonna. His comments during the interview after he got traded was, he's not brought in here to outscore Auston Matthews. I thought that was pretty funny. He knows his role, he understands it, and it's great to see.
Absolutely. You stole the word right out of my mouth there.
Did I? Because you were about to move on.
I was about to move on, but then once you brought it up and you were talking about what his role was, I was going to say he does know his role.
It's good. So, it really is.
So that's important. Moving on, before I was interrupted.
Rudely interrupted.
The Montreal Canadiens are going to be without Shea Weber. He's out at least a week with a lower body injury, the old LBI. Hopefully he comes back soon. I know he didn't start his season last season until December. He's a guy who's had the injury bug. And for a team that's trying to make the playoffs in a very tight race in the East, they're going to need him. They're going to need that big body on the back end. Marc-Andre Fleury, the Flower, moves into fifth place all time for wins with 460. He's closing in on Ed Belfour's 484. He's going to do it. He's obviously going to be playing next season. I can't wait for him to break it. Obviously, Eddie Belfour, I don't know if he knows what's going on in the NHL right now. I think he's in prison or something. I don't know. He had that drunken public arrest and disturbing the peace, whatever. Looked great in his mugshot. But I think that Marc-Andre Fleury, I want nothing but the best for this guy. I love watching him play. He's one of the greatest goaltenders of the last 15 years. He has more highlight reel saves than some other goalies have saves.
Now, let me ask you, from a goalie standpoint here, Marc-Andre Fleury passed it, is now in sole possession of fifth with 460. Sole possession of sixth is Henrik Lundqvist with 459. So these two goalies are battling it out for – it's a race to see who can climb that leaderboard and get closer to Marty Brodeur at first.
No one will touch Brodeur, I don't think. He has like 800 wins.
But either way, as a goalie, is this great to see right now? Like in the league right now, you have two goalies that are battling for all-time wins that are neck and neck. Literally, it's
signaling the beginning of the end of an era. We've had the pleasure of watching both of these goalies, Fleury, win a couple of cups and make some good runs. Lundqvist carry the team on his back for the past 10 years. As a goalie, from my standpoint, there's nothing better than watching two generational talents break records and become the legends that they are. Two future Hall of Fame. No doubt they'll both be in the Hall of Fame. So two future Hall of Famers, and it's great that we still get to watch them night in, night out. Lundqvist seems like he's lost a little bit of a step.
I'd put my money on Fleury to end up winning that race.
If I was
just gonna, because the team around him too. This is about wins here.
If I was going to bet on it, Fleury's definitely getting more wins for the from now to the rest of his career. And I think Lundqvist will be fine with that. He's broken pretty much every Rangers goaltender record. He's going to have his number retired eventually for the Rangers. They'll both be Hall of Famers. So nothing but the best wishes to both those guys.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be fun to watch at the end. So that was our news and notes from around the league. Now we move on to our start sits call-ups. But before we get into that, I would like to remind everyone to please subscribe and like our pages on social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at the Power Play Pod. We are an independent podcast. It is your support that drives us, and we appreciate all of it. So please go ahead and give us a like and a follow on all social media platforms at the Power Play Pod. Without further ado, Anthony, it is now time for start sits call-ups. No one knows where you're going first. Let's find out.
Wild card.
I feel like I haven't started with my sit in a while, so that's where we're going today.
I feel like I haven't started with my sit in a while. What a jerk.
All right. Anyways.
What a jerk.
My sit this week is going to be the Toronto Maple Leafs. I feel like they have underperformed quite a bit this year. They've went through a coaching change. They're not getting the goaltending they need. And it's crazy because they're scoring like 6 goals a night. So they're getting this amazing production from their offense. Auston Matthews, I think he has like, he's close to 40 goals or he hit it. I'm not sure. But he's right there on 40 goals. He's definitely going to hit that for the season. Their defense has been a problem for years. And it's almost like they refuse to address it. They just find scapegoats like Jake Gardner, who they just blame everything on.
Auston Matthews is at 40 goals.
He's at 40 goals.
On the dot, leading the lead, tied with Mr.
Yeah, he's been
Alexander Ovechkin.
They've both been amazing, but right, just focusing on the Maple Leafs, they've had this hole in defense for years now. It's been their main issue. And now it's a combination of defense and lack of consistent goaltending. If they might miss the playoffs. They keep on going in and out. Right now they're in the third for the Atlantic, but 2 days ago they were out of the playoffs completely. So there's a chance that they miss the playoffs altogether on a season where Auston Matthews is probably going to get to 50 goals. That's unbelievable. It's the most worthy sit I think I've had in a long time.
It is worthy. I mean, as a team, you know, they fire Babcock midseason. Sheldon Keefe comes in. Keefe's doing a good job trying to right the ship. I mean, I think he's done a very good job since becoming the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. He knows this team very well. I think the future is bright in Toronto, but as of right now, the position they're in with all of that talent, this is not a team that should be battling for a wild card spot, battling for last play or the final spot in the Atlantic. This is a team that should be contending with Toronto and not be as many points out as they are.
Absolutely. And to your point, Sheldon Keefe, it's hard for a coach to come in the middle of the season. This isn't the team he built at all. This is just the guys that are there for him. So he's doing all right with what he was given. You can't really place too much blame on him at all.
Yeah, and a little behind the curtain for hockey fans and teams, I feel like when you're a new coach coming in middle of the season, you really can't change your systems that much. You can't go away from, you go through your training camp with one coach, Babcock's systems. We all know Babcock is a very different head coach than most. He has his ways set in his ways.
Bordering on abuse.
Implements this system at the beginning of the season, and now Sheldon Keefe comes in. You can't just go cut it completely out and change it up mid-season. These players have to stick to a similar system, if not the same system, going forward. And then once next season approaches, you then implement your style and get your team on that system.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Moving on from my sit to a team who's on the opposite of the Maple Leafs, who's exceeded expectations. It's the Vancouver Canucks. And I'm specifically going to actually, I'm sorry, back it up. This is my call-up.
What was that?
That's my backing up sound. That's the sound of me backing up.
Oh, yeah. So when you get in the car and you're backing up, you roll down your window and just do the clicks. Oh, unbelievable. That's terrible. That's terrible audio.
What? It's all right. What else is new? So anyways, my call-up. I didn't want to get it confused because I'm calling up Travis Green, the head coach for the Vancouver Canucks. This is a team that has exceeded expectations. No one had them making the playoffs, including us. And a huge part of it is his system. He's a guy who keeps lines together consistently. He's getting the best out of his players, and they're proving a lot of people wrong. He's getting great goaltending. And I think he is up for the Jack Adams. He should be.
Yeah.
He has to be. Between him and Torts, who's won it before, two guys who are definitely up for it, who've brought teams that really weren't supposed to be where they are. And in Vancouver's case, they're not just like in the hunt. They're first in the Pacific. And yeah, they've been first in the Pacific for a lot of the season. Like at the beginning of the year, I was like, man, they're first in the Pacific now, but I'd love to see them, you know, come February.
Yeah.
Well, it's February. They're still in first place in the Pacific. They're still rolling. Elias Pettersson is an unreal young talent for them. And I really think that the coaching of Travis Green is at the root of it.
Yeah, I 100% agree. He's really getting the most out of certain players that you really just haven't seen a whole lot of. I mean, take JT Miller, for example.
JT.
New York Ranger, former Tampa Bay Lightning player.
He was always an average player with those teams.
And he's been underrated.
He was a good depth guy.
He leads the team, or he's up there in like
I think he
the
leads
entire
team,
league
I think
hits.
He leads the team. I think he leads the Vancouver Canucks in assists.
I mean, it's huge. You're getting so much out of a player who really hasn't been performing at an insane level lately. He's been very helpful for a team with a lot of... It's crazy because JT Miller used to be that young guy, but now he is that veteran leader in a very young...
With a lot of playoff experience, a lot of Stanley Cup experience.
Exactly. And then you guys, Quinn, don't forget Quinn Hughes. Calder favorite right now.
Absolutely. And I can't agree with you more there. I think he's going to win it.
It's going to be exciting to see.
Absolutely.
Down the road. We're going to talk next week's episode is contenders and pretenders. And definitely the Vancouver Canucks are going to be talked about.
Absolutely. Because there are some question marks surrounding them. And they're, I would say, besides JT Miller, their lack of experience because they do have a very young team, including Coach Travis Green. I know he, as a head coach, I know he's never had any playoff runs. I don't know about his career before that, though. That may be something I have to fact check. But. Moving on. We're not backing up. We're going forward
right now.
We're going to my start, my real start.
Your actual
and this
start.
This is Elvis Merzlikins.
Elvis. Elvis has entered the building.
This guy, and the best thing about him is we all have had the privilege of seeing him play for the past few weeks, but we never would have had that if Corpi Salo doesn't go down that night. The night that Tortorella just gave it to the league. So... we're getting the privilege of seeing this guy who's obviously, you know, been NHL ready for a while and he's finally getting his chance and he's taking advantage of it. He has, in his last 8 starts, he has 5 shutouts.
Ooh, that is impressive.
In his last 5 games, he has a .96 goals against average. He is on fire. Granted, in his last game with Columbus, he only had to make 16 saves. But if you go watch the game, he actually had to make some nice saves. There was to preserve the shutout. He made a nice save on a breakaway.
The
Latvian-born netminder is ready for the NHL, and he has been helping this team stay in the playoffs. If the season ends today, they're in. He's helping this team stay in the playoffs, and they're rolling.
It's not even the fact that like you have to make a lot of the saves, you have to make a ton of saves. It's just you have to make the right save. So you see a 16-game shutout, a 16-save shutout. You're like, oh, that's not that impressive.
It doesn't jump out at you off the stat.
You have to. You know, that's where the advanced stats come into play because you have to look at the quality shots that have been taken in that game.
The scoring areas, the high scoring percentage areas.
That he's making big saves in key times of the game as well, helping Columbus get goals on the opposite end and win these games. It's great to see a team that you really thought that, like, Columbus, you lose Bob. It's like, okay, what's going on? I mean, I predicted Columbus to miss the playoffs.
I think a lot of people had them missing the playoffs, myself included, and I think that's part of why they're doing so well. Tortorella does so good with teams like this. Teams where it's just a ragtag bunch of guys who weren't given a chance. They lost Duchesne. They lost their starting goaltender. They lost their leading goal scorer in Panarin. They lost so many pieces that everyone counted them out, and I really think that's where Tortorella thrives.
Yeah, it is.
I think he thrives in those situations where everyone's counted him out, and he can get the young guys, the guys who have been counted out, to buy into his system. I think he doesn't do as well with superstars.
So do you think that...
So I think he's in the perfect situation right now.
You think he's kind of changed his ways now? Because a lot of people were saying that this is kind of towards the year to start kind of fading away as the coach. He starts to piss people off, take people the wrong way, and he starts to leave. You think he's kind of changed that? You think he's...
I don't know if he's changed it or circumstance has helped him look better with it. I say that because I was one of the people who said, yeah, this is kind of when you start to see the beginning of the end of Torts. He had his great year last year, which is going to keep him as the head coach for at least the rest of this year and part of next year. But the way things have worked out, he's gotten these kids, these guys who weren't given a chance to buy in, to be successful, to win gritty 2-1 games, and he's also getting great goaltending, which, you know, in Torts' most successful years, when he won a Stanley Cup, it was on the back of Habib Bulin. All those runs they made with the Rangers were on the back of Lundqvist. All his most successful years were on the back of great goaltending and tight defense.
Starting from the back end and working his way up.
Actually, he's a big defensive guy. He wants his guys blocking shots, making sacrifices. And when everyone is doing it, it comes together. So, I will say this. Eventually, it will catch up to him. And his system, his in-your-face style of coaching will go sour. It always does. But for right now, at least for the foreseeable future, it's working right to his advantage. He's looking great, and I think he's doing an awesome job. Another guy who I think should be up for the Jack Adams Award this year.
Definitely. I mean, he definitely deserves it. Now, jumping back to the quack question of the day. Back to the quick question of the day when I talked about who needs to be the most active at the trade deadline. Do you think that Columbus needs to be up there in activity? Because if you're the owner of Columbus, if you're the general manager of the Blue Jackets, you see and know John Tortorella's tendencies. You know that this season could possibly be a Cinderella story type season. Do you capitalize on that and say, hey, let me make a move here? Let's maybe, like I said, with Calgary, you solidify your chances in making a good run.
If I'm Columbus, I'm really not changing too much. They have a formula that's working now, and the style of play that they're used to in the regular season is how you win in the playoffs. Those gritty, grind-it-out games. Teams hate to play the Blue Jackets, and that's why.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to get an easy night from John Tortorella and his guys, and that's actually what wins in the playoffs. So on top of that, I don't think that they should be giving up any of their future to win now.
Yeah.
I think they should go with what they have, get as far as they can. The fans deserve it. They've been waiting a lot. They're becoming one of those suffering fan bases.
Yeah.
They've had to suffer through a lot
good
of tough
it's
years.
A good fan base in Columbus,
it's a
I think.
Solid
I think that's
Columbus
a...
fan base, especially in the playoffs. There's very few arenas who are as loud and as nuts as they are, especially when the cannon's going and they're playing well. It's always a fun time for the playoffs in Columbus. I think with the group they have now, they can be successful.
Don't forget the most underrated captain in the league.
I think
Nick Foligno.
Nick Foligno, love the guy. He'll fight anyone. He'll score goals. He's an absolute monster out there.
You like the hugs, the Merz Lincoln's
the jumping hugs.
Hug.
Oh, I love it. It brings a tear to my eye every time I see it.
It is great to see. So that was Anthony Starcic's call ups. That was good Starcic's call ups. I'll give it to you on that one. But mine are a little bit better. And I am starting obviously with my start. And I'm starting Tyson Nash of the Arizona Coyotes broadcast team. I was watching the game the other night that they had, and it was against Carolina. And
I like Tyson Nash. I like him when he's a player.
I like his voice for one. He's got a great commentating voice, but that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm starting them because they were playing the Carolina Hurricanes, and we talk about broadcast teams being biased and things like that. And us hating it and not liking even hometown broadcast not being so homerish. It's bad to see. I don't like it. The Arizona Coyotes, Penguins, Tampa, things like that.
Tampa's the worst. Has the worst homer commentators in the NHL.
But we hate hearing that. You don't like hearing like overly homer broadcast. The Arizona Coyotes broadcast team and Tyson Nash specifically, they were playing the Carolina Hurricanes the other night. And throughout probably 10 minutes of the game, at least in the third period, he's talking about the Carolina Hurricanes like he's the broadcaster for the Hurricanes. I was like, wait a second, am I listening to the Hurricanes feed or the Coyotes feed? And I literally looked at it to see that I'm listening to the Coyotes feed. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is great to see. That's true good broadcasting right there from Tyson Nash, giving the opposing team as much credit as your hometown team. Having a great balance. He was building them up. He was like, wow, they're setting up plays. He's talking about how deep they are.
And he's very knowledgeable because he was a player, which I am partial to commentators who used to play. He was a player. He knows the game very well. And he's still young enough to he knows the players very well.
Exactly.
He's played with half the guys who are still playing right now.
NBC Sports, make it happen. Bring him on for your playoff coverage. I'm telling you right now, you're not going to be disappointed.
It'd be awesome to see him and Biz do a little playoff.
That'd be unreal. Can you imagine the Yotes in the playoffs? How nuts they'll go?
They're going to make the playoffs, first of all. They're going to make the playoffs. whether they can win a series or not, that dude, their division,
it's
they
tough.
Might have the toughest division in hockey,
and they're not, and
it is so competitive.
It is. It really is. It's great to see. Oh well, no, that's the Pacific. You're thinking of the Central. I think that I feel like the Central's a little bit better than the Pacific.
No, I don't think so, dude.
Yeah, because essentially you got Minnesota, you got Chicago, you got...
Yeah, exactly. In the Central, you got Minnesota and Chicago.
But they're battling for the playoffs.
Yeah, they're battling, but they're not good teams.
On top of on top of the fact that you have your top three teams that are very good in Colorado, St. Louis, Dallas.
Buddy.
Who? Okay, hold on.
Vancouver.
Sidebar.
Vegas. Edmonton. Calgary.
Let me see,
Arizona.
Let me see this here real quick. So let's do it. St. Louis or Vancouver? Who are you picking?
St. Louis.
Colorado or Vegas?
Colorado.
Dallas or Edmonton?
Dallas.
Okay, so there's your top three teams. And then if we go to the wild card,
dang it,
then you have you're picking Arizona over Calgary, right? So there's your...
No.
So you pick Calgary over Arizona. You're really shooting yourself in the foot here, buddy.
I can't possibly choose right now between those two teams.
Right now,
those
okay,
are two good teams.
So right now it's a solid 3-0 and then a wash. And then you have Nashville... Yeah. Winnipeg, both central teams.
Wait, what'd you say? You said Arizona and Calgary?
Yeah.
Those are both Pacific teams.
Is Calgary in the Pacific?
Yeah.
Okay, then never mind then.
Yeah, that's why I said, ooh, like I don't know who to choose.
I thought Calgary was in the central.
Calgary's Pacific, dude.
Aren't they central Canada? Is that a thing? Isn't Alberta
no,
in
no,
central
Canada?
No,
Calgary's out west.
Is it?
Western Canada.
Oh,
yeah.
Well then nuts to me then. So you have the two wild card teams, but realistically, if you're picking between your top dogs, Central's better.
You know what? I hate to admit you're right, but you do make some good points there. I think the Central has the best teams.
Because then the Pacific also has your worst teams as well in San Jose, LA,
the
Anaheim.
The California teams are trash.
The California crap.
California crap. That's a great way to describe how they're going.
So either way,
I will say those three teams were all at the top of the league for many years, and you can only stay at the top for so long unless you're the Penguins, who are just there all the time.
Central over the Pacific. Either way, back to my start sits call-ups. I'm starting Tyson Nash of the Arizona Coyotes broadcast team for non-biased takes. I'm moving on to my sit.
I love that.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sitting. We were talking about the Calgary Flames and the Battle of Alberta earlier. I'm sitting bedtimes. This might sound weird.
What?
I'm sitting bedtimes because...
bedtimes are great, buddy.
No, bedtimes are not great when you have the Battle of Alberta. We have to see these two teams play one more time, and it's gonna be past 10 o'clock at night, and I'm not going to want to stay up for it.
Yeah, no.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah, no. I wave goodbye to my bedtime when it's the Battle of Alberta, and I watch it.
You go into work the next day, and you're like, oh, I'm super tired, and you're...
Worth it.
No coworkers or bosses understand that you're tired from watching the Battle of Alberta.
Well, for you.
Oh, you work with a bunch of hockey people, so I guess they would understand.
Actually, I don't anymore, but I'm texting my boys. Shout out to Matt Mulkey and Tom Arnold.
Either way, though, if you're going to work and your boss sees that you're tired and you tell them, oh, sorry, I stayed up late last night to watch the Battle of Alberta, they're not going to give a shit. They don't care.
They're going to be like, is that a movie or what?
Yeah,
what?
Exactly. They're not going to understand. They're not going to care. Even if you're from up north and hockey's a bigger deal, they're still not going to care that you were up late watching the Battle of Alberta.
When I was in Alberta a couple weeks ago, they have Boston pizza everywhere.
Yeah.
So the Boston Pizza by like the lodge we were staying in, and on the like the front sign, it's like Battle of Alberta, January 29th, half off this,
oh,
that, like
awesome.
Happy hour through the whole game. Like I was like, dude,
so maybe
this
so,
is where I
so
belong.
Maybe you'll understand. Maybe they'll understand if you're in Canada and you see that. But
well, yeah. And also it's a 2-hour difference. So the game starts at 8 there.
Exactly. So but either way, it's super late for us. Well past my bedtime. My bedtime's like at 9 o'clock nowadays. And these games start at 10. By the time it's done, it's like 1 o'clock and your boy's asleep. And I'm missing it, and I'm upset about it that I'm able to miss it, that I have to miss this. And if the playoffs come around and these two teams do meet in the playoffs, bedtimes are literally not a thing anymore. So I'm sitting bedtimes because they're not a thing. I'm calling up the Team USA women's hockey team for clinching the series in the rivalry series against Canada. They play five. It's best of five series between Canada and the U.S. They travel around the world or travel around North America to play these games. They just clinched the series the other night in Vancouver with Hillary Knight's game-winning goal. They win it.
That was an unreal goal, by the way. That was a high IQ play by Hillary Knight.
She's a very smart hockey player. And what's better is the celly afterwards. And she later came out and talked about why she did it. She did the little shush celly. She put her finger over her mouth and shushed the Vancouver crowd.
A la Covey.
And, yeah, Kovalchuk did it.
That should have been talked about in one of our starts. I'm sorry. I'll let you finish.
You're not going to let me finish because you're going to interrupt me and then talk about it.
I loved Ilya Kovalchuk. I love drama.
Oh,
and
the Schusselli in New Jersey?
Ilya Kovalchuk scoring the shootout winner, shushing the crowd.
It was unreal.
And giving him. And dude, he's been almost a changed man since he came back from Russia.
And well, he's been a changed man since he's been in Montreal.
I agree.
He wasn't a changed man in Los Angeles.
I agree. Maybe since he's been in Montreal. Did you see what he said about his contract talks?
No, I didn't.
He said that he's not talking contract right now. He just wants to focus on helping the team win and helping the team go into the playoffs.
Wow, that's not very Russian of him.
That's not very Russian of him at all.
And Putin's going to kill me for that one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're not ever going to be on the radar like Chase. So we can say whatever we want.
So, no, either way, though, back to my call-up being the Team USA women's team.
Go ahead.
Hillary Knight shushes the crowd, and afterwards she discusses why she really did it, and it was because when Canada defeated the U.S. for gold 2 years ago, or two Olympics ago, it was in Vancouver, and the crowd was literally just ripping on Team USA, ripping on Hillary Knight. She talked about it.
Which is unbelievable. Like, these are professional athletes, and you're...
Well, I mean, that's just how big the rivalry is between Canada and the U.S. It's just great to see.
It's just funny to me that a lot of people who talk the most shit after games like that are probably the biggest losers and couldn't shoot.
What does Chicklet say? Rick from Alberta?
Rick from Red Deer.
Rick from Red Deer,
Rick from Red Deer punching the ceiling.
Yeah, it's a bunch of those guys. But either way, though, Hillary Knight shushes the crowd. Great Selly. They take the series from Canada, the rivalry series, 3-1. They still do have one more game left that they are going to be playing in
USA,
Anaheim.
Baby.
And also, side note, their attendance for these games have been great as well. So that's awesome to see. Women's hockey continues to rise without their star players playing in professional leagues. Go ahead.
There's been some talk about the possibility of the NHL backing the national women's hockey. I know they already have that, but they're talking about backing a league for women.
That'd be so.
And that would be amazing. It kind of needs that because right now there's not enough support for it to be successful on a national stage alone. But if you're watching if you're watching women's basketball, no offense, you're falling asleep.
Yeah.
No one wants to watch a 33-42 win.
Yeah. It's not.
If you're watching women's hockey, especially Canada versus USA, it's more exciting than watching the Detroit Red Wings.
Like
if you're a Red Wings fan, it's more exciting than watching them.
All-Star Weekend.
Dude, it's
obviously
great.
The skills competition on All-Star Weekend is lacking a lot of things. But I was paying attention to All-Star Weekend just for that 3-on-3
game. That was the best part of the weekend.
That's all I cared about. I didn't watch the All-Star game. I barely watched the rest of the skills competition. But when that 3-on-3 happened, when that 3-on-3 was taking place, I was watching it. And shout out to Canada for taking that in a game that's nationally televised, that's that everyone has eyes on, that everyone's watching.
Absolutely. I almost don't even want to call it women's hockey. It's just hockey.
Yeah.
And it's good, fast-paced hockey. There's a lot of skill involved because they don't hit as much. So it's really fun to watch these girls out there. And like, if it's on TV, I'm watching it.
So I'm calling up Team USA for clinching that win in Hillary Knight's shush celebration. Side call-up is women's hockey, which I feel like I call up a lot because
I think it deserves it a lot, and I really want it to succeed for these girls' sake who sacrifice all their time, all their efforts.
Yeah, I mean, they're putting
the best
in,
they can be.
They put in just as much work as the NHL players
and
do.
It shows with how skilled and how freaking fast they are.
They are.
Unbelievable.
Wicked fast. So that was our start, sits, call-ups. Now we're going to move on to Anthony Milani's setup of the week, and I'm very excited for this setup of the week. But before we get into that, I want to remind everyone to please like and subscribe all of our podcasting platforms. That's iTunes, SoundCloud, Player FM, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, we are there. Like we stated before, we are an independent podcast, and your support means the world to us. Without further ado, Anthony, let's get into it. Our setup of the week, Anthony Milani's setup of the week. You won the B-dubs bet, though, of the setup of the week challenge last week.
It's hard to beat those powder blue P2s, man. It's hard. I did like your setup, what you had brought to the table, but, man, it's those powder blue, all powder blue solid color with the main unis. It's hard to beat.
It was a challenge that I failed at. You won. You took the victory. You took the B-dubs bet from me. I'm still gonna win the B-dubs overall tally at the end of the season after Dallas and Philadelphia do not make the Stanley Cup Finals. Tough look. So let's get into it, buddy. Your setup of the week. Let's go.
We're going with Clint Windsor. goaltender in
that,
the East
that
Coast.
That name might sound familiar to some.
You can go ahead and explain that. Go ahead.
Do you want me to explain where he's from?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay, see, he currently plays for the Orlando Solar Bears in the ECHL, a very familiar face to the Jacksonville Iceman fans that listen to this podcast, and also the Orlando Solar Bear fans that listen to this podcast. We are also very friendly with the Jacksonville Iceman Puckhead, the fan group for the Iceman. We are also very friendly to Defend the Den, who is the Orlando Solar Bears fan group, and this setup of the week has a lot to do with the Solar Bears. And honestly, I was looking at this setup in our show notes, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited to see the setup because it's absolutely filthy.
So let me get into this. This is something I promise will be on the Twitter because I can't not put, because me explaining it doesn't do it justice.
At the Power Play Pod.
Absolutely. It's basically an abominable snowman.
It's a solar bear.
But it's the way it looks, it reminds me more of like the abominable snowman.
It's like the fur with the layers, of fur and on top of each other.
And the color scheme is to match the solar bears. It has that solar bears blue and the orange in the lettering. It's
underrated part of that pad too, is what whoever posted this in your Instagram screenshot in the notes here, they talk about the detail is amazing. And Clint wins. He talks about, my favorite part of this Solar Bears hockey setup is the beans on the catching glove as the bear paw. Like, you know how like bears have the little toe beans or like the paw beans? It's literally on the glove. And that's the attention to detail that Brian's hits you with.
Unbelievable detail by our friends.
Friend of the show.
Friends of the show, Brian's. Yeah. Brian's goaltending, Brian's hockey, all of it.
I do think it's funny, though, that Eagle hockey is still a thing. I see that they like that post that you have, an Eagle hockey. That's still
a thing. Dude, I loved Eagle gloves. When we were growing up, Eagle gloves were the coolest.
Either way, though, that's our setup of the week. That's going to be posted on the Twitter, at the Power Play Pod. You can let us know what you think of that setup. At Solar Bears fans, this is your time to shine. Let us know what you think of the pad setup.
Absolutely. I really don't mean to get into more of a side tangent, but dude.
You do mean to get into
Eagles
a side
gloves,
tangent.
Eagles gloves, man.
Eagles gloves.
Those are the coolest
Eagles
gloves.
Hockey was pretty sick.
Those are the coolest gloves growing up.
Do you want to dive into, though, we talk about the ECHL. Do you want to touch up on the suspensions with the Iceman in the comments game?
I would love to talk about that. Because
we had our bonus show that we released talking about the
brawl. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it.
At the Power Play Pod on all podcasting platforms.
Indeed.
Check it out.
Indeed.
The ECHL game between the Jacksonville Icemen and the Fort Wayne Comets, there was an absolute brawl between both teams last week. We did our bonus episode, like we said, talking about it. The suspensions were given out, though, and a pretty hefty suspension for Jacksonville Icemen's Everett Clark.
Emerson Clark,
sorry. I always mix them up. Damn it.
Two E's.
It's too close. Emerson Clark, though, captain of the Jacksonville Icemen, getting a 16-game suspension for not only the fights and the kneeing and all that, but he also got it for the abuse of the official, which is rightfully so. It's deserved.
I think that is what the suspension was all about, really, was the abuse.
You can't do that.
I feel like he would have got maybe a 3 or 4 game suspension otherwise.
But Anthony, what about the suspensions for the Comets players abusing the official?
That's the voice of public opinion.
That's something I'll have to. I didn't see it.
I can't do that.
Did you see it?
I did. No, I saw.
How bad was it?
I saw from all the videos of it.
I can't comment on something I didn't see.
I didn't think it was that bad. I wasn't there at the game. Maybe there's more that I'm missing. But I mean, you can't. What Emerson? It's not even necessarily what the Comets players did to the officials. They still got suspended for similar crimes.
I think 6 games. A couple of their players got suspended 6 games.
But the fact that what Emerson Clark did, you can't necessarily look so much at what the Comets players did and why they didn't get suspended so much. It's what Emerson Clark did. What he did is uncalled for. You just cannot do what he did.
Yeah, he got 16.
I don't care what happened in the game that warranted what Clark did. Whether someone's talking shit, the goalie's by the bench taunting the players, I don't care. Yeah, if Emerson Clark's not abusing the official there, the official's able to go do his job and get the goalie away from the bench and pick players out of the pile. There's only 4 refs in a game. It's a 10-on-4 at least in the game of the fights that are going on.
If there's guys coming off the bench, then it's even worse.
The refs are outnumbered. If Emerson Clark's not abusing the official and doing what he's doing, the ref's able to go in there and do his job and separate the play.
Absolutely. So 16-game suspension for Emerson Clark.
That is
tough. I thought it was going to be 20. I was close, but not quite. I still think it could have been 20.
It could have been, man. You can't do that.
Could have been, should have been 20 maybe. I think maybe they even went light on him. They said that he got suspended for 16 because of his prior history. I feel like because of his prior history, probably should have got more.
Yeah, I mean, 16 games is a lot, though. The thing about it, though, the ECHL season is a little bit shorter than
maybe,
an NHL season.
Maybe, so that plays, maybe that plays into it a little bit, which is fair.
Also,
they didn't seem to miss him the other night. They won 4-0.
They pumped
4-0.
The Admirals. No, five. I think it was 5-1,
five
the final
to
tally,
one,
I think.
Okay, 5-1 final score.
Don't quote me on that. I might be wrong on
in
that.
In Norfolk without him. I'm not saying that they wouldn't have won with him. I'm just saying.
Think about it, though. Your travel is not that easy in the ECHL. You're taking a bus
all the way up
to Norfolk, and you have to.
And when you're there, you're playing usually two games and two nights
without your captain.
Yeah,
it's a big deal.
Yeah,
and they were able to pull the dub out.
It may have been one of those things where you rally around the situation.
Yeah,
like, but let's win it for our captain, kind of thing.
Also attaching to this, the suspensions, the ECHL warned, which I don't understand this. I'm not a big fan of this. They warned Coach Christie and the coach for the Comets about like their action, like the team's actions, and making sure that this does not happen again.
I think I can help explain that. Warning Christie isn't just about Christie. It's to the players as well, because now the players know.
The players see that there's a.
Now that Coach Christie is on the hook for it, the players know anything I do comes back on him. So it indirectly affects the players and how they think about approaching situations. I think it's actually pretty smart for the East Coast officials to do that.
Yeah.
I think that they needed to do something, given the situation, to kind of make it resonate more with the players. And I think going to the coaches helps it resonate better with the players.
Yeah, that's a valid point. That makes me see it a little differently. I agree with that for sure. So now that was our setup of the week, which was attached with another sidebar. We need a sidebar drop.
Yeah, we'll get Brett on that.
We got to get Brett on a sidebar drop. So now we move on to the main event of the show. Brand new segment here. Two Truths and a Lie is the main event of this evening's show, or today's show. Let me explain it. I'll explain it a little bit here. Two truths and a lie. I have three scenarios here that I'm going to hit Anthony with, and I'm going to say three different stats. One of them is a lie. Two of them are true. Anthony has to decide on which one is the lie. Anthony, do you think you can win this? You want to beat up his bet that I beat
you
here?
How many questions are there?
So there's three rounds.
I think I can go 2 for 3.
You think you can go 2 for 3?
Yeah, you want to bet?
You want to beat up's bet it?
Yeah, we'll
beat up's bet it. So there's a beat up's bet now on the line here that Anthony is going to be able to win. Two of the three, two truths and a lie here. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
Let's get into it. I'm going to hit you with an easy one here. First truth.
An easy one here?
First truth. The Columbus Blue Jackets are second behind Boston for goals against per game this season. You can look at your notes here. It's in the notes. If you need to read it, just letting you know.
Yeah, I'll
just because it is a little
I wasn't sure
here.
If the answer was there also.
No, I put that in a separate thing. Just so I can have the answer. So the Columbus Blue Jackets are second behind Boston for goals against per game this season. The second truth, Drew Doughty leads all players with ice time with time on ice with 26 minutes and 11 seconds. And Pekka leads goalies in points with 4. Which one is the lie? Shit.
Hold on,
I just realized I messed up here.
Why? Which is funny.
It's actually funny. So there's actually two lies in this.
There's two lies?
There's two
so
lies.
You're changing the game in the
there's
middle of the
lies.
Game.
There's two lies in just this one.
You're something else. So
the rest
two
of
these
them,
are lies?
Two of them are lies.
Okay.
Can you get it right? Can you guess the two lies
I want
in
bonus
this?
Points for
you
getting the other one.
Okay, you do.
Bonus
you,
points.
You do get bonus points in this. So two lies. There's two lies in this one. The rest are two truths and a lie, I swear.
You really spent a lot of time designing this.
I did.
Huh,
so no, that was the last one when you got to the studio and then I was still finishing out the notes. So two lies are in this. What do you think it is? Dude, I need a Jeopardy drop.
I think the two lies are Drew Doughty leads all players with time on ice. And the Columbus Blue Jackets are second behind Boston for goals against.
So, you are correct and incorrect.
Okay.
The Drew Doughty one is a lie, because Drew Doughty does not lead in time on ice.
Okay.
Thomas Chabot of the Ottawa Senators actually leads the league in time on ice.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense.
But the other lie is the Pekka Rinne leads goalies in points. Andre Vasilevsky actually leads the goalies in points with four.
Oh, he has four assists?
Yes.
I was going to say, because Pekka has a goal.
He has a goal. It's a very big deal, but Pekka has 3 points.
That's why I thought, I was like, he has a goal built in. If he just has three assists, he's up there.
So I'll give you that one. That's one. You're okay. 1-for-1.
All right.
You're 1-for-1. Now we move on here, Anthony. We're going European on this next one here.
European?
We're going European. And you might want to read the, might want to pull these up on your notes. You have them on you. Okay, gotcha. So the first truth here. Swiss-born defenseman Roman Josi got his 400th career point this week and is 33 points behind all-time Swiss leader Mark Streit. Second one, Erik Karlsson has the third most all-time points amongst Swedish defensemen. The third one, Tuukka Rask has the most all-time games played by a Finnish goalie, passing Kari Lehtinen with 655.
I'm going to say the lie there is... the Tuukka Rask is
the God damn it, dude. Holy shit. I can't believe you did this. Yeah. So you went 2-for-3. No matter what happens in the next one, you've went 2-for-3 and I lost the beat-up bet.
I think I'll go for... Dude.
Can you go for the bonus points
here? It's not even the fact that like I knew these. Like it's just... It's almost like process of elimination. It's like which one sounds the worst and the Tuukka Rask one just sounds crazy.
Can you guess who... There is a goalie in the NHL right now that has passed... Kari Lehtinen for most games played.
Probably Pekka.
It is Pekka. Okay, Pekka leads the all Finnish goaltenders passing Kari Lehtinen and as first place for most wins. Yeah. So you are 2-for-2.
2-for-2.
Well done.
2-for-2 and I gave you who was the right goaltender.
But you didn't get the bonus for the last one.
Whatever.
Which was the second lie. So final one here. Alexander Ovechkin now has the most 40 goal seasons in NHL history, passing Wayne Gretzky with 12. The second truth, Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid are the first set of Oilers teammates with 80 plus points through the team's first 54 games of a season since Wayne Gretzky, Paul Coffey, and Jari Kurri did so. Number three, Austin Matthews leads the league in home goals this season with 28.
The first one, Ovi has the most 40 goal seasons.
You are the worst. You went 3-for-3.
I just heard this stat. He's tied with Gretzky. He's the only
incorrect.
He's the only
incorrect.
He's the only player to have 40 goals in each of his 11 seasons.
Incorrect. So Wayne Gretzky has 12.
Okay.
Seasons of
what does Ovi have? 10?
11. 11. This is his 11th season with 40 plus goals.
Okay, but listen to what I said though. Ovechkin is the only other player in NHL history to have 40 goals through his first 11 seasons, just like Wayne Gretzky did.
Oh, okay, but is not passing. Did not pass.
He didn't
Wayne Gretzky.
Pass Wayne Gretzky, but he also
that's
has.
That's fair.
Yes.
Okay.
So
that.
I just heard that stat. I think it was on Chicklets.
Damn it!
I think that stat was on Chicklets.
You went three for three, you asshole.
Yeah. Well, you got to have harder questions. Buddy.
Wow. I thought I did. I did a lot of research for these.
Yeah. Whoa.
I did a lot of research for these.
Why don't you research a little harder?
God, man, this guy, unbelievable. So Anthony goes 3-for-3. Not only does Anthony go 2-for-3 and wins the B-dubs bet, but he goes 3-for-3 and clean sweeps the first ever edition of Two Truths and a Lie.
I think I only owe you like 3 B-dubs now. Because I paid for one the other night.
Yep.
And then I've won the last 2 B-dubs bets.
Yep.
So I think I'm down to like 3 or 4
B-dubs. I think we originally had 6. I think my tally was at 6
So now I'm at 4.
So, yeah.
No, because I'm at 3 because I paid for one.
Yeah.
And I just won 2.
Yeah, so
you're
at 3.
Yes.
I'm about to get 2 more at the end of the season. Because Dallas and Philadelphia let's remind the fans
Philly won't.
You get bonus points, you get an extra B-dubs bet if Dallas and Philly make it. Yeah. And then you get a B-dubs bet if Dallas makes the Stanley Cup finals.
I think we bet that Dallas makes the Western Conference.
No. You bet that Dallas makes the Stanley Cup finals.
I did. I think we also B-dubs bet that they make the Western Conference finals. It's down here somewhere.
Oh yeah, it is. It is on here. Dallas makes the Western Conference finals.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So your bonus is if both Dallas and Philadelphia make the Stanley Cup Finals.
It says B-dubs bet Dallas misses the playoffs too.
Yeah, that is also a thing.
So I'm definitely going to win that one.
So at the end of the season, it might end up being either way. I'm still not giving you B-dubs. that's the real winner here for me is that I don't have to give you B-dubs at all. This is you playing catch up at this point.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do, but I'm getting there.
He's making my way down.
Also, if the Flyers and the Stars do happen to meet in the Stanley Cup Finals, I would owe you a B-dubs bet. That's 2 B-dubs bets. That's worth 2 for me.
I would owe you a B-dubs bet. If Dallas and Philadelphia make you if Dallas and Philadelphia make the Stanley Cup Finals, I would owe you a B-Dubs bet at the end of the season, because you would have, either way, that's math down the road. Either, but honestly, Anthony, as of right now, Philadelphia is not in a playoff spot.
Yeah, they keep on battling for that last either wild card spot or the.
And they got
last...
shut out by New Jersey the other night.
They looked really
Mackenzie
bad.
Blackwood had a 42 save shutout.
They looked really bad. Yeah, man. I mean, they had a lot of shots on goal, but the team didn't look good. A lot of their shots, they weren't like really high percentage shots. But I'm not going to discount them from one bad game.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Either way, though, that is our show. That was Two Truths and a Lie. Hope you enjoyed that new segment. Hope you enjoyed Star Sits Call-Ups and everything else on episode 70. We're at 70 episodes this week.
There we go. Another milestone.
Another milestone. 70 episodes.
I mean, I would argue that 69 was the milestone.
69 was definitely the milestone, 100%.
That's been the goal since the beginning.
But we hope you enjoyed the show. Anthony, do you have any final words?
No, I think I'm all good here. It's
sure.
Yeah.
Are you sure you're not going to hold your finger up as I'm closing out the show?
I might. Go ahead.
You sure?
Go ahead. I want to hear it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. On that note, folks, thank you so much for. I'm not stopping. The train's rolling. On that note, folks, thank you guys so much for tuning into another episode of the Power Play Podcast. Don't forget to support the boys all over social media at the Power Play Pod, and like and subscribe, and please leave us a review. Like we've stated before, we are an independent podcast, and your support means the world to us. Please do so at the Power Play Pod everywhere. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of the Power Play Podcast. I am the one and only Vinny Milani. He is the backup, Anthony Milani. Thank you, and have a good night or day whenever you're listening.
See ya.
Wow, you hit the see ya pretty quickly on that one.
I hit it hard.
Hit it hard. Skateboard hard.
These are the Force guys.
We're playing a team of divorced men.
These are the Force guys.